Hello, Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me today, Deepti. I'm really looking forward to our conversation about yoga, yin yoga, and the elements today.
Thank you so much for being there. And I think this has actually captured what captured my interest about your profile and what you do in yoga, which is joining the concept of elements with interesting. And of course, not many people are actually familiar with this kind of a concept. So I'm sure we'll have a lot of takeaways from your session. So, but before the actual conversation, I would first want to introduce you, and then we move on to my questions. So, Melissa West has been practicing yoga since 1996 and teaching it since 2002. She is the author of Five Elements Yin Yoga and focuses on practicing and teaching in harmony with seasons, and combines five element theory and yin yoga. So, Melissa, my first question, of course, is, what made you get into yoga, and that to such a niche area in yoga, which is about
Yeah, well, I'll tell you briefly what got me into yoga, and then I want to tell a few stories about my experience with yin yoga and five elements to just kind of ground us into our conversation today. But
Yeah.
honestly, what got me into yoga was I was a fitness instructor, and I still am. I'm really into weightlifting, and I was tight and I thought, well, I'll just go to a yoga class once a week to get a really good stretch. I thought that would be a good idea. And of course, the rest is history because my first experience in a yoga class was, like many people's, incredibly profound. I had, my first experience in a yoga class was, I've told this story many times, I felt the impact on my organs immediately. So I remember having to just really go to the washroom, I had to pee so bad. And so that was, it had an immediate effect on my kidneys, right? And just like a different kind of cleansing of my kidneys, and really like, oh man, I've never had to urinate like that before in my life, So that was like, it really stood out to me about my first yoga class. And also, when I first did my first yoga class, my voice changed, from really squeaky and up here and navely, and went really down into my throat and my chest and came into my heart. And that's what a lot of people comment on when they hear me is, and like about me as a yoga teacher is my voice. And if you go back and listen to my first classes, my voice is very different and it's really settled down and into my body. And I think that, that's vagus nerve, right? And our nervous system. And yoga really does change us in that way. And that was, I couldn't believe that for my first class. Like, I came home and I was talking to my husband. And I felt like, the sexy new woman. It was unbelievable to me, right?
No, definitely, yeah.
That was my first class. I was like, this is incredible. So it hooked me, right? There's something different about yoga. Every morning I do this little mobility routine so that I'm not in pain because I'm in my 50s now. And it doesn't feel good when I do it. It feels good after because I'm not in pain anymore. It's not really yoga, it's a mobility routine. It's different than what I do in the evenings, which is a yin yoga sequences or restorative yoga, and it feels so good, right? There's a such a difference. There's a different quality to a yoga practice. So then I'd love to share sort of down the road, quite a ways down the road. When I lived in Toronto, I never really practiced yin yoga. It just wasn't popular there, which makes sense because that was, over 10 years ago, and Toronto's a very young city. We're very go, 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 do, do, do there, especially 10 years ago. And then I moved to British Columbia, and yin yoga was really hot here. And I just started going to yin yoga classes. I just thought they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I really didn't get it, right? I was bringing all these principles, values of yang into my yin practice. And I'll never forget this experience. And we bring who we are into our yin yoga experience or into our classes, yeah. right? And I remember being in this one yin class, whether the teacher was talking about the principles of yin or not, I'm not really sure. But I remember being in a forward fold and the teacher coming over to me and just putting her hand on my leg. And it wasn't even adjustment at all. It was just like the touch said, you just don't have to try so hard. And I'll never forget that because it was so different. And at that moment, I understood that, well, this is different. You know, yin is different. I don't have to strive. I don't have to try so hard here. I got the concept in yin that I can soften, right? She didn't even use those words, but it was, you know, that wordless moment of, wow, yin is really different. And then if we fast forward a few years, I decided that, yeah, I'm going to do my yin yoga teacher training because this has had such a profound impact on me. It was like I just couldn't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. And then there was this moment in my yin yoga teacher training where, you know, it was another one of those, you know, when you get those insights where everything just in your whole world changes. I had this moment where I realized, like, oh my God. This was when we were learning the principles of yin, you know, where, you know, you're going to, where the difference between yin and yang, right? Receptivity,
yeah.
softness, yeah. stillness, all the feminine qualities. Yeah. And I was shook. This is after a few years of attending yin yoga classes too. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that, you know, an hour of yin a day is never going to make up for the other 24 hours of living in a yang way. And yeah. in that moment, everything in my life changed. I realized that I needed to find that balance in the rest of my life. And that started mm-hmm. that journey of finding that balance between yin and yang, right? It's not that we don't need yang. It's that we really need to bring the yin in because we do have a lot of yang in our lives. And then the third story that I want to tell that really impacted the way that I wrote Five Element Yin Yoga is that I started to really accept myself. And I think this really came out of my years. I got really into yin yoga and then I got really into meditation. And yeah. through meditation, I really started to accept the present moment and not fight against it. And that, I think, really impacted the way I approached Five Element Yin Yoga, because I think mm-hmm. one of the ways that I write about it that's probably quite different than the way a lot of Ayurvedic texts are written, and even the way a lot of Five Element texts are written, is that they tend to pathologize things, right? Which means right. that what's wrong and how can we fix it? And you'll see mm-hmm. that in the way that I write and the way that I come at my book is that there's nothing wrong with you, right? And yeah. that's the underpinning of yoga.
It's about balance, actually. It's about just coming close to your balance.
Exactly. It's that if we can align with our true nature, then it's all good. Yeah. And that was really, as I spent those years really immersing myself in Five Element Theory through as each season went by, I started to understand myself. Mm-hmm. And I really started to understand I have a lot of wood element in me. And I started to accept the pattern that I have as a wood element person, which is that wood element people like trees, like wood element is in spring. And in spring, mm-hmm. you think about the bulbs that come shoot up out of the ground, right? There's a burst of energy in spring yeah. that we love yeah, that yeah. burst of energy in spring.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
And that's my nature. I have that. I go in bursts. And then what happens is I tend to burn out. I get tired, right? And I used to beat myself up about that all the time. But guess what? That's just my nature. So yeah. what I discovered is that, okay, that's what happens. I have this burst of energy, so I follow it. And then I have this time where I need to recover. And guess what happens in order to do that? I really need to tap into my water element, which feeds the roots of that of the system, right? And then I can have another burst of energy. And so when that
kind
happened,
of reviving your energies before getting into that second
burst, second phase up.
And it
happens again and again and again for me. And instead of beating myself up for being sort of burned out or needing to retreat and refuel myself, I just recognize it as, well, this is who I am. And, you know, I always think wood always is going up towards fire, and fire is heart and love. So I just can love that. I can love that about myself. And that, if anything you take away from today, I think it's just aligning with and loving who we are and not fighting who we are. So yeah, I hope that explains.
I think definitely makes sense what you're saying. Having a little bit of that background, I resonate with what you said.
Yeah.
Melissa, just to set up the context of before we talk about autumn and metal season for the listeners, just to create that context, how would you help a listener understand the context of, like, between yoga and nature's elements? Like, how, one, of course, a lot of people know what nature's elements are, but in terms of their characteristics, how do they resonate with us, and how does it come together with yoga to bring about that balance from the inside?
Yeah, I was thinking about how to explain this. And I think if we go back into yoga's history, there's always been a connection between yoga and nature. If we just look at historically the way yoga was created, the yogis immerse themselves in nature and then they aligned with it. And that's how the asanas were created, right? We think about tree pose and mountain pose and sun salutations and moon salutations and star pose, and it continues to this day. And even in yin pose, we have yin yoga, we have poses like caterpillar and dragon, and you know, we've always been inspired by nature, and because it helps us to align with our true nature. And then even if we go into the philosophical texts, and I was pulling out the one that we know best as yogis, which would be the Yoga Sutras. And my favorite translation is Nichola Joy Davies. And even the verses that we know best in the Yoga Sutras are the ones about the yamas and the niyamas.
Yeah.
And if you look at the verses that precede that, if we talk about by embracing Ashtanga Yoga, the eight faceted path, intuitive wisdom dawns and reveals our inner radiance. And so to connect with our inner radiance, we have these beautiful yamas and niyamas. And the yamas, the way that Nichola Joy Davies describes it, is the reflection of our true nature, is experienced and is experienced through, and she talks about ahimsa, which is reverence, love, and compassion for all living beings. And it's when we talk about five element theory, the idea is that we're all made up of all of these phases, right? And so when we have this deep reverence for all of these phases, it allows us to connect with our true nature and experience that radiance, that harmony. It's really a beautiful thing. And we could go through each one of the yamas and niyams, and it would support us
definitely.
I could pull any one of the verses from the Yoga Sutras and make an argument for the five elements. The five elements is just another philosophy of all of life. So,
Okay, great. So now, coming on to the specific energy of autumn, which is our topic for today as well. Again, to set up the context, just help us understand, you know, what is the kind of metal energy? How does one understand what exactly metal energy is? And how does it resonate with autumn? And how do the yoga practices come together to bring about that balance in, maybe if that energy is imbalanced?
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot there. So I think What I love is I started my teacher training with Vonda Scaravelli and Esther Meyer's yoga. And Vonda Scaravelli says, with infinite time and no ambition, the teachings are absorbed. And so mm-hmm. I love each season to allow the season to gift its wisdom to me, right? So I think the best thing we can do is step outside and go for a walk. I love to go for a walk each morning. And each morning mm-hmm. there'll be aspects of nature that will speak to us and impart its wisdom sure. to us. So at this time of year, and the reason why we chose metal is because we're both in the Northern Hemisphere and we're experiencing mm-hmm. autumn right yeah. now. So at this yeah. time of year, the days are getting shorter, right? And and it's a more yin time of year. The days are getting shorter, mm-hmm. they're getting darker, colder. They're getting cooler. Yeah. So they cause us to contract and come inwards, which is a quality of metal, right? Mm-hmm. Also, it's a beautiful time of year when you go outside, the leaves are changing color. So there's that alchemy that's happening. They're the wind is picking up and they're starting to fall from the trees. So there's a letting go happening, a lot of letting go happening. And also the leaves are coming down onto the ground and they're going into the earth and they're becoming that really fertile soil for next year's growth, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So there's all, and then there's this beautiful light at this time of year. Right, the sun is lower in the sky too,
yeah,
and when the sun reflects on the leaves, it creates this luminosity that's almost cathedral like that's just so yeah. inspiring and uplifting. Yeah. So when we go out, we're absorbing all of this sort of unconsciously, maybe, or consciously, right? Once we sort of
yeah, but it's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, if I look at what you mentioned, that's how the nature is behaving during this time.
It is how the nature is behaving this time. And it's how we are, if we want to experience that inner vibrancy and harmony and alignment with our true natures, then we are being called to do all those things as well. And the thing is, we live in a culture that wants us to be continually producing, achieving, striving, doing more, accelerating. Yeah. And this is what puts us in, this is what creates, I think, illness, dis-ease, anxiety, yeah. discomfort. So, and also I think at this time in our history, things are speeding up so much, you know, change is happening so much. But when we align with the energy of the seasons, we get these natural times like autumn when things slow down, right? When the days yeah. get shorter, when we can, you know, when it's like dark at 6 o'clock and we complain about that, well, that can be a time when we can put our work down, start to wind down for the evenings, light some candles, do some yoga in the evenings, maybe have, you know, if it's cooler, we can have a nice warm bath, make some warming foods, you know, spend more time doing those kinds of things. So we're in more, maybe curl up with a cozy book, do some journaling. We want to, just like the leaves are falling from the trees and things are being more sparse outside, it's a time to be paring back our schedules too, so that our calendars look more sparse, right? We have less going on. These things are going to create harmony and balance for us so that we feel better at this time of year. And we may notice that it's a time when we feel, you know, because we're sort of fed this dogma that we need to be happy all the time. But as a time, it's a reflective time, right? This system was created, this philosophy was created in a more agrarian time. So in metal element season, this is the final stage. So if, you know, previously in earth element season, you had brought in the entire harvest. And now you had taken the harvest, metal element season is the time when you'd taken the harvest to market and you actually got your coins, right? So you're sort of counting your coins, you're seeing, you're looking back, you're seeing how things went. And, you know, some things went well, some things didn't go well. And you're reflecting back. It's a real time of reflection. So, you know, when we look at the organs for this season, we're looking at the organs of the lungs and the large intestines. And there's two qualities to this, right? And we've already touched on one. So with the lungs, we're breathing in and we're drawing in the inspiration, this spirit, like this real spiritual connection at this time of year where we can connect in with our inner preciousness, our true self. And then when we breathe out, we let go. Also, our large intestines support us in letting go. So when we talk about breathing in, we want to, there's a beautiful phrase in the traditional Chinese medicine that talks about drawing in that pure chi of heaven. And you think about like the way the light reflects on the leaves and stuff. It's a time of reflecting back and looking back at all those precious memories. Like in traditional Chinese medicine, we talk about the way that earth creates metal. And so there's these precious gems in the earth. And we're finding that preciousness within ourselves. We're finding that preciousness in our memories. Like it's such a beautiful time of year to reflect on these beautiful memories. If you look at poetry, there's so much poetry written this time of year because it's such a time of year that causes us to pause and reflect and bring up all these beautiful memories. And there's not a lot of space for that in our culture. But if you look at the way that nature is at this time of year, it does encourage us to have that space. And so it is a good idea to take that kind of space. I feel like I'm talking a lot, so I don't know if this is inspiring questions for you.
Definitely. So I think just drawing a question from what you just said, like, so you just mentioned it's the time of reflection, the time to let go and, you know, just slow down. Coming to the kind of society that we live in today, and that's what actually has driven our mind as well. We want to just go ahead and achieve two things and be in a rush and, you know, achieve a lot. And the energy of this season is somewhere not supporting that rush of, you know, factor that we have in ourselves as humans. So, and I'm sure like with that kind of energy clash, there are some imbalances that are showing up in our physical cells, in our emotional body. So, you know, what are those imbalances that start to show up during this time of the year? And then for somebody who understands this theory, somebody who understands yoga, does relate to this concept that it's the time to, you know, slow down, be reflective, and all of those, you know, adjectives that relate to this time of the year. People don't relate to it, who go through a lot of anxiety, a lot of, you know, during this transition time, they go through a lot of, without knowing, ups and downs in their moods and then their emotional health. So what are these specific symptoms that people should look for without, you know, putting it on them that something is wrong with them, and also associating it with that energy of nature, and how do they focus on bringing themselves to that balance so that, you know, it starts to impact their physical and emotional health positively.
Yeah. So I think that's why I just love painting the picture of balance first and the beauty of the season. But yeah, so the way that this season gets pathologized, and it is true, the lungs are an organ that's known for grief, right? And grief does come forward at this time of year because we, it's a time when we slow down, when there is more darkness. I know myself, I've recently lost my grandfather, who was an incredibly important person in my life. And I also lost his wife, my grandfather, at the same time of year, within about a month of each other. And so for me, this time of year is melancholy in the way that I feel that loss, those losses. And there's not a lot of space in our life to experience those grieving, you know? We're sort of meant to get on with it. And I think that we have these beautiful practices that allow us to slow down and be in our bodies and feel what we're feeling. I know for myself that when I come into my body and when I move, the emotions are, they're really there. They're really close to the surface, and they come up. And we know from our yoga practices, we know from polyvagal theory, we know from trauma-informed yoga that it's really important to let those emotions flow. You may find that they are closer to the surface at this time of year. And I think there's a real beauty in focusing on the lung meridian system to just give them space to flow and express. And there is this beautiful practice in yoga where we focus on the opposites, you know, where if we get too bogged down in the depression, right? If it's weighing us down too much, that we can focus on the opposite. And this is built into five element theory too. So if things, you know, if we're getting too depressed, then we want to bring, and metal is getting too constricted and we're feeling too yin, then there's a moderating influence through fire element, which is all about love and expansion and connection, right? And so then it's really important for us to reach out to others. That's con the connection part of fire, that is the expansion to receive
That's
support.
beautiful. That's really beautiful.
And you know, to be witnessed in our grief is very powerful. To have somebody, you know, when somebody's grieving, as somebody who has been grieving, I just want to say that you don't need to say anything. Just to be there for them when they're crying is really supportive. And so connection is really important, and it's really hard when you're grieving to reach out for connection. So if you know somebody who's grieving, to reach out for them, and no, you don't need to say anything, but just that I'm here for you. I know you're going through a hard time. And I think the other thing about fire element is that, as I said, it's all about the heart and love. And to not to encourage, I really don't want to encourage people to spiritually bypass their grieving, but it is very helpful to focus on those times of those moments of where you felt that love that you had between you, right? Those are those precious connections that you had that are really strong in metal element season. And the balance can come in remembering those joyful memories too, right? And those will probably bring the tears too, but it's good that they release and let go. So that's part of
So
the
body has to
letting
be free
go.
flowing, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are
And on the
that's the lungs.
physical, so is there's another kind of fluid, which is the large intestine, which you want to talk about?
Yeah, did you want to talk about the way
Oh,
physically
I
how we
yeah
release?
no no I my question was like around, so we are talking of the emotional side of the imbalance of the specific organ system. I just wanted to have a little focus on the physical, because that's what people actually come across as the first encounter with the imbalance.
So with the large intestines, it's really common, and you know in Ayurveda at this time of year to experience constipation, which is like holding on. And I think we need to look at all aspects of constipation. Because we can have mental constipation, right? Where we're holding on to thoughts that go through our heads over and over and over again. We're holding on to ideas. Also, where we're, I think we can kind of be energetically constipated too, where we're really trying to control our reality, you know, where we're stuck and we're controlling our reality. So yeah, it's really, I don't think any, I think yoga has really supported me in this area, in just in the letting go, you know, physically. I just love yoga for the, it's just physically coming into your body. I you know, I talk about the kidneys in my first experience was that letting go through the kidneys, but then also physically letting go through the colon. That was just massive for me at the beginning of my yoga journey as well.
Yeah.
And so it just, it does continually clear you out physically. I think if you're practicing it, it will continue to clear you out. And there is this, I love talking about the connection on your mat and off your mat, and you will be asked to continually clear your life. And so you may find in this season, I think we need to acknowledge that, you know, we're surrounded in this Insta world, YouTube world with all these success stories. There's also the success story of the this trope of the American dream, right? That we're surrounded by this like sort of instant overnight success. And, you know, I think most of us are just going along trying to make a go of it, you know, trying to, you know, this past year we've experienced incredible inflation. And so most of us are experiencing a shrinkflation too, and a shrink of how far our money is going. And that may feel like a personal failure, but if we just really look at it, it's not, right? We're all experiencing this. And so I think it's really looking at letting go of where we thought we should be, you know, accepting where we are, accepting our losses at this time of year, you know, accepting where we are, letting go of where we thought we should be. I think this is a really important thing in metal element season. It's a great season to pull out those journals. It's because it's such a reflective season, you know? It's such a reflective season.
Yeah, right, all of that. So coming back to the idea of yin yoga and the metal element, how does yoga contribute, and specifically because you are more focused and inclined for towards yin yoga, how does actually yin yoga help bring about that balance at the level of these organ systems, and which has a direct impact on how physically and emotionally we feel?
Yeah, in yin yoga, we actually work with the meridians. And so in metal element season, we're working with the lung and the large intestine meridians. So the lung like simply runs down the inside of the arm to your thumb, and then the large intestine goes up the outside of your arm from your index finger. So you're working with the more an upper body meridian with the lung and large intestines when you're practicing your yin yoga. I do still really like incorporating, especially for the large intestine, the kind of like, I just don't think there's anything better than like apanasana for large intestine and your twists.
Yeah.
So I still do incorporate those kinds of things. I'm at a stage in my teaching where I'm curious about this for you too, because I know you incorporate a lot of different modalities. I just am frustrated by like discrete boxes, you know. I just really like to bring them all together now. I just
the concept of wholeness.
Sorry?
The concept of wholeness.
Yeah, it's like I just don't see them discreetly. I want to bring restorative into yin and hatha, and I want to have some flow in it too. It's like I feel really like almost have a straitjacket on trying to keep them all separate anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I think I even have that kind of a focus. So how I kind of try working on it is so that there is one area where I'm completely into the, you know, the specific practices. Like if it is hatha and traditional hatha, there I have certain sequences which are completely on the lines of Hatha. But there could be other sequences where I bring in, like theme based, like we are having this theme of autumn. So then you bring in good practice from Hatha. You need to cleanse up your lungs. You need to focus on your large intestine to support elimination. And so for specifically that purpose, then I kind of try to bring in a blend of different practices together. Some part of it may be coming from the understanding of yoga kriyas, which is about the cleansing part. Then taking in some practice, you need to slow down. Practice from Hatha coming in, where you kind of stay into a posture and stay there and let the body work all by itself in that posture and the energy flow getting regulated, then bringing in this concept of stillness. So I try to come back to these specific characteristics of the season, breaking it down into a maybe a checklist, and then keeping those keywords as the motivators for me to design my sequences coming together.
Yeah, I really love that. And I think it goes back to like what we were saying at the beginning, which is, the way that yogis were inspired by the beginning was by immersing themselves in the season, in nature, and then they were creatively inspired, right? So it wasn't like
And
they were
it's also
following
it's
some
very simple
formula.
and intuitive. It's very simple and
Yes.
intuitive. It's just about observing. It's about being mindful and observing what's going on, then taking an opposite action to what's going on to bring about that balance.
Right. And then it's like, then what's happening is then you're expressing your true nature. And then what that's going to change, what I'm kind of reading between the lines of what you're saying is that that's going to change from season to season. We're kind of, we are talking right now about metal element season and autumn. And that's going to be different in winter and water element season. And we're going to feel better if we aren't trying to be the same all the time. Because the rhythms are changing all the time. Yeah. And the more we
No,
are in
that's
tune
very
with that.
true. So
And the
in macrobiotic theory, which is actually also driven from the concepts of traditional Chinese medicine, it's understood that within it takes about an year for you to kind of transform yourself from the place where you start to the place you actually see things have changed within you. And it's not about that 2 day of detox. It's not about bringing in those nutritional elements together. It's about in 1 year you go through all the four seasons, these four energetic shifts in each specific season for about 1 quarter. So you live in 1 quarter a little differently from the other quarter, and then a little differently from the third, and then a little differently from the fourth. What happens is whenever you start, and it because it's cyclic, you can start from wherever you think you can and wherever you get that inspiration from. So if you start from autumn and you stick to the principles of autumn, then you've kind of supported your organ systems and kind of enhance their strength and capacity. So you automatically you've taken first step to strengthen your system to level one, and then you move for the principles of winters, and by the time you want to spring, you've already upgraded your system at level two because you've followed those principles, and the systems associated with your winters have seen that rhythm, and they've kind of strengthened back because of that upgradation of the principle that you've been following. Then you move on to season three. So it's like step one all correct and you reach a certain level, then step two reach a level of better, and then third season you follow that those principles. By the time you complete your fourth season, within 1 year you've learned to live with the energies, not with the concepts of this nutrient lacking or a weight loss or these short-term concepts that we generally look forward to. So this is what in my dietary as well in yoga practice I focus a lot on, focusing on these concepts of aligning your energy with the specific energies in the seasons and live by those principles, move on to in the other season and adopt those principles, and within 1 year you see a lot of transformations. Automatically a lot of reversals start to happen in the body because those energies start to get balanced. And with those energies getting balanced, of course, your physicality and your emotional side also starts to, get balanced because it's all driven by energy.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's like you need, if you feel like this is something that you're drawn to, it would behoove you to give yourself an entire year to just get to know it. And I feel like this goes, only a very few people will choose to do that, because I feel like so many people just want to know all the things right now. But that's not the way that nature's cycles work, right? They work slowly over time.
And then there's so much of a rhythm to it, so much of a discipline to it that, I mean, from the place where I'm a rush society, a rush way of life, it becomes really difficult for you to kind of adapt to that principle. And that's where I think it's more about just picking up those specific areas, most important areas where you think you can bring in some shifts, specific timings when you think you have the time, like morning time. I have a very strong focus on morning time because that's the time, you know, that's for yourself. You're doing everything for yourself in morning. So why not integrate some other thing with a specific this season in your mornings, and then you're kind of aligned with how the nature wants you to be.
Yeah, I love that. And what I would like to add is that I feel like this is what underlying what everybody is just craving for, because I feel like what is causing so much tension, stress, and anxiety is, you know, if I look at the definition of stress, it's trying to do too much in too little time. And I do feel, and I know in my own experience, that we are going through a unprecedented period of change right now. And yet, one thing that stands out to me right now is that, well, nature isn't speeding up in its cycles of change. Yeah. It's still.
And that's going where we're through. Also creating an imbalance. We are way faster than how nature goes on.
Right. So that's actually really good news for us, right? There is something that isn't speeding up. Yeah. And so we can, this is really, really good news. We can choose to step out of it. And like, I love your idea of the morning routine and really turning into the morning routine. And intuitively, people are doing this because I know people, one of the key search phrases that I see often is morning yoga, right?
Yeah.
So it's a time when we can choose to tune into these rhythms, right? To align our practices with the rhythms of the season so that our morning practices can change from season to season. It's really beautiful. Maybe we should brainstorm some ideas around what people can do in the mornings for metal element season for their yoga practice, and you can give some ideas from your perspective. I'm not as...
I think I don't know if that fits in well into the autumn season, you know, energetics, but specifically from the morning practices perspective, there are a few things that I've drawn in from how traditionally things are seen. So and that again is driven from what goes on at night. So it's all an understanding coming in from what's a step before what's going on that in the morning. So if you look at the nighttime for your body, that's for absorption. That's a time for detoxification. A lot of overhauling in the system is happening. So when I say absorption, not exactly the digestive absorption I'm talking about. I'm talking about the mental absorption and the emotional absorption. Your body is actually absorbing what has gone through the day. Your thoughts are being processed and your body is in a mode of cleansing you. So when you wake up in the morning, you are toxic. Yeah, because you need to now focus on eliminating what your body has processed overnight, and you need to kind of, similar to how we look at our houses, right? In the morning, the first thing that you want to do is clean up your houses. The first thing in the morning for our body is what we would want to do is clean up our body. So for us, the idea of cleansing, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but for us, for the modern society, the idea of cleansing is limited to maybe brushing your teeth, having a bath in the morning, going on, you know, going to the washroom, and that's all. But if you dig in deeper into the concepts of Ayurveda, the concept of cleansing is very, very deep. It's about cleansing your senses. It's about having a specific practice for cleansing your eyes, cleansing your nose, and then, you know, cleansing your skin, with meditation, cleansing your mind and thoughts. So that concept of cleanse definitely fits in into the ideology of morning practice. So which means some practices which help you cleanse, and that cleanse can be body, throughout the body. Now, if you want to kind of deviate it from the perspective of autumn or metal season, then I think that the cleanse of lungs and large intestine, which are the energetic organs for this season, takes the upper hand as compared to the, say, your digestion or other systems of the body. So then maybe having some practices which specifically focus on your lungs and practices focusing on your large intestine becomes a priority in the season. But the cleanse is definitely a key word in the morning. Then I think definitely the idea is, and when you're talking of cleanse, you cannot eliminate or not think of your lymphatic system. That's where you hold all that toxicity. So of course, when you're working on lungs, large intestine, lymphatics is something that side by side would come up, because whatever you cleanse, if it doesn't come out of the body somewhere, it's going to get stuck in that system. So you also parallelly need to work on that system. So for this season specifically, when I focus in my practices, I specifically focus on 3 Ls, which is lungs, large intestine, and lymphatics. So which is the keyword, and then the keyword again is cleanse there. So you bring in practices which help you cleanse. Now these practices can come in from, say, your yoga sequences. It can come in from the kind of foods that you choose, which help support these 3 L systems. So yeah, I mean that's how I kind of try to approach things from, bringing in these general concepts and then breaking down into how it fits in into specific the energy of specific season.
So
Okay.
I love those. Yeah, I would say I like to keep things super simple and things that people might already be doing. So at this time of year, we talked about fire balancing metal. I would say get out your candles, light some candles to bring that warmth to the constricting metal that will lift your spirits inside, especially when it's dark. So it's just a simple thing you can do in your yoga practice that you're probably already doing intuitively, right? To light your beeswax candles or your soy candles that will just lift your spirits when it's darker and colder and bring warmth to a time when things are cooler in the mornings, in the evenings. So it's a way that you can bring that balance that could just really create that beauty. I love the idea of detoxification, and we talked about mental constipation. So, even just at the end of the day before you go to bed, writing down things that you're grateful for the day, but also things that you're letting go of at the end of the day. And this,
That's
we
right.
have these, we tend to focus on the negative, so I really do love the practices of focusing on what went well more than what went poorly,
Definitely.
Yeah, I think these can be really beautiful practices. And as you said, breathing practices are really important. And it's a more yin time of year, so we might want to focus on more yin breathing practices like alternate nostril breathing, which could be really balancing, or moon channel breathing, or maybe even like a square breath or something. Or I love three-part breathing too, but I or if you're getting so it's as you say, it's all about the balance at this time of year, right? So if you're really down in the depression, then you might want something more energizing, like the Kapalabhati breath. But it is a great time of year to bring in those breath practices, and I do love
But I
combining.
also strongly believe your body actually directs you. I mean, all those seasonal energetics is all okay. Those concepts definitely exist, but it's also about where are you going to apply these principles on. It's body and mind. So if you understand your body and mind, if a certain pattern works for you, I strongly believe it's always good to listen to yourself first and then look into the energetics outside and then think
Right.
of what,
Because
how do you need to bring in that.
one thing we haven't talked about today is that we are each made up of all the elements, and we tend to have elements that are more dominant in us, right? So it's really important to find balance for ourselves, is what you're saying, right? So yeah, there'll be certain seasons that you're more comfortable in and certain seasons that you're less comfortable in.
Okay, great. Melissa, my last question to you is about How do you think learning the idea of five elements can help a yoga teacher in their personal as well as teaching skills, like personal practice
Yeah.
as well as the teaching skills?
I think it's really supportive for teachers, and in my book I have I go into it a fair amount. I have some teachers' corners in the book where I speak specifically to teachers, because especially in the northern hemisphere, which is 90% of our population, there are times in our teacher cycle that just go against the rhythm of the seasons. So for example, in the new year, we get this real influx of New Year's resolutions, which is just bang of energy at water element season, which is supposed to be the most yinward time of year. And as teachers, we, we're human beings too, and it's our time of year when we're supposed to be conserving energy. And all of a sudden, we're having this influx of people into our classes. They're there for not to conserve energy. They're there to most
Burnout.
likely, yeah, they're there to lose weight. They're there to exercise. They're there for different reasons than the season. So, that's something that, with awareness, we can have some choices in how we deal with that, and I talk a lot about that in the book. The other season is the desert island of summer for us as yogis, which is as yoga teachers, which is the most yang of all the seasons, which is summer. When our classes dry up, it's normal, it happens every time of year, but that is the time when we have the most energy, when we are designed to be outmost, to have the most connection. And yet there's nobody in our classes, right? So
True.
how do we work with these energies? How do we align with these energies so that, we're not burning out, so that we're not going against the grain, so that we don't feel weird? I think it's important to be aware of these and to work with them and to work with our students. Yeah, I think that's
No,
really
that's
important
beautiful,
as
and that makes
teachers.
sense. So it's
It's
kind of
tough.
adding a filter to what to choose and what not to choose, basis the kind of energy that's moving around, and aligning it with yourself to keep that balance going, all right?
Yeah, I think once we have awareness, we can start to make choices within the larger seasonal cycle, right? Because if we know what's coming, then we can prepare. Like autumn is a great season to prepare. If you look at animals, they're preparing their hibernation dens. And as teachers, we want to be preparing right now to conserve our energy and also pre be preparing for what's going to be happening in the new year, because it happens every year. So if we've prepared ourselves for that's going to be coming, then we're going to be okay. But if we
And
haven't
then you don't tense
set
your nervous system, and it comes back to your systems as well. You're not taxing your nervous system and then having enough. That makes
Yes,
sense,
so it's
definitely.
about being with that whole seasonal cycle, and we need to be aware of it so that we can be sustained, sustained energetically.
No, that's beautiful. I think there's a lot of awareness now coming up with the concept of five elements. A lot of people have actually come out and started talking about this concept, which is beautiful because it somewhere binds you in a boundary, still giving you all that freedom to do whatever you want to do in a healthy way within that boundary, which is how nature works, I believe. Great. So, Melissa, before we end the session, anything that you would want to convey to our audience, or anything that you think we should have talked about and missed out? I mean, all yours.
I just think that we just started touching on this, that we all have all the five elements within us. It's not something outside of us. We talked about wholeness, where it's nature is not something outside of us. It is us. This is why, I'm sure many of your students and my students, we love nature. It's because it is us. We are it. We're not separate from it. So that's why we feel so good when we're in it, because we are it. And when we align with its energies, we feel even more harmonious and at ease. And so, yeah, just remember, you're not separate from it. You are it. You are, we are whole. Yeah. We are all one. And when we align with the energies and we remove the things that are not those energies, we're just going to feel so much better. But you already are it. It's just I think the best thing always is for me when I am getting outside every day and walking every day, then I am more in tune with those energies.
Yeah. You know? And that's what these five elements are all about. It's mm-hmm. kind of completes the whole, and that's what is within us. As well. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It was great, Melissa. I think definitely great inputs shared, and small things, but definitely make a lot of sense. And I think that's what we need to focus on, these small qualities of the season, and then aligning ourselves with those specific energies. So great. Thank you so much, Melissa, for being there. And I think it was a wonderful session with you. I just loved a lot of concepts that you talked about, specifically the energetics. And I think definitely for me, the takeaway is for sure the resolution stuff that you talked about, because that's the most common thing the world is running after, without realizing that's not the time to have those young kind of resolution. Yeah. It's more about melting down and just, you know, preparing for what's coming up. So thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge, Melissa. It was really nice talking to you.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to spend this time with you.
Same here. Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thanks.